Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, today we are concluding our series of political profiles. First part of the program, a fellow by the name of Ralph Norman, who travels back and forth to Washington, D.C. all the time, is joining us for the first half of the show. And then a guy who is riding in a truck that should have been condemned years and years and years ago by the name of Mike Fanning, who just dropped his axle on the street 2 days ago and still got it back in there and running. 330,000 miles, we're thinking he has on that old yeller out there.
Did he paint it?
No. He doesn't want to take the glisten off the thing. I'm surprised you don't have a truck like that. As conservative as you are, you ought to have a truck like that.
I got a 2008.
2008. What year is your truck?
1970.
I need to pay the taxes on a 1970 truck.
$14 a year.
Yeah. $14 a year. Okay, Ralph, so here you are. You've been a congressman now for how many years?
Elected in midterm 2017.
2017.
So going on 7 years.
Going on 7 years. Hasn't worn you out yet, has it?
No.
You seem very, very committed to trying to get this monster to change, and it's still very much an uphill battle.
It is, but the gratifying thing to me is the service you give to people, the agencies that we can help them with, the veterans we've helped. Eddie Gallagher, we took the calls up and really made a difference in his life. He would have been behind bars had we not gotten involved. It was a team effort. But, no, Congress gives you a platform to do a lot of great things. Got a call this morning on a 90-year-old who was having trouble with getting his Medicaid payments. So we get involved. We got a working group, and we return calls. That's why I get my phone number out pretty easily to a lot of people. But nationally, we got a problem. Mm-hmm. With a lot of things, immigration, and I guess our financial dilemma is what's frustrated me more than anything, because we can't keep going.
You know, it's amazing to me that all the political banter back and forth at the national level, I haven't heard anybody talk yet about this $35 trillion debt and how we're going to at least begin to try to tackle the doggone thing. And yet it is the ruin. It could very easily be the ruination of this country.
It will be the ruination. We'll lose our constitutional republic, Manning, if we don't get our financial house in order. And that's true with a business. It's true with a family budget. You can't spend more than you make. And, you know, I hear the term $35 trillion, but when you count the Highway Trust Fund, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security is going bankrupt in less than 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's not fair to the taxpayers and really not fair to the next generation to burden with this. So I'll continue to vote to rein it in. I tell a lot of people no who want funding from the federal government. My first question is, where do you want me to get it? Federal government doesn't have it.
You know, I did hear one time, I should correct myself, I believe I heard Trump say one time that if he's reelected, he would like to take the drilling revenues and put it towards the national debt, which seemed to make a lot of sense. I mean, that's a new source of revenue. But even if he were to do that, how do you get Congress to stop spending? That's the problem.
You're going to have the executive branch lead the way. But ultimately, it boils back to the 435 members of Congress, 100 members of Senate, saying, no, the top priority is getting financially solvent. We can't say that now. And that's been a tremendous disappointment for me for the 7 years that I have been there. The gravy train has got to stop. And the quicker we realize it, and I hope Trump will make that a top priority when he's elected. And I do think he'll be elected.
Well, you know, you talk about Social Security, and, of course, everybody during a political season says, this candidate's going to take away and this candidate's not going to do it. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is there would be a revolution, I think, in this country if anybody was to try to take Social Security away from those who are already getting it. But you can means test that. You can change the formula so that your children or your children or your grandchildren, instead of getting it at what age they get it now, would have to get it later.
Well, you know, it's time to stop just talking about it. Nothing is sacred now. When you've got the thing with Social Security, it's the taxpayers' money. It's not the government's money. And to take that away, money that has been paid into the system, and then the irony of it is paying tax on that, I would argue it's already been paid. So Social Security is just one of the things that we're going to have to find solutions for and not be scared of it, because the media will make, and the opposite party on both sides will make the case that, you know, you're doing away with Social Security. That's not the case. Same thing with Medicare and Medicaid. You got to have revisions to it. The Farm Bill, SNAP program. You know, we've been trying to get work requirements in that since I've been in Congress. Work or basic 25-week work requirements, which you ask the average American who puts in some 50, 60, 70 hours a week. But, you know, these are issues that we can have got to tackle and address it, and not just say it, have solutions. I don't feel comfortable putting something just continually to criticize it. Put a solution forward. I believe in term limits. You shouldn't go up there and live. I'll put it up again this year, and hopefully we'll get some traction to let the states decide what they want to do.
You know, I think it would be very interesting if we had a political leader who would have the guts just to stand up in front of the American public and say, look, we're going broke, and we can fix this, but it's going to take everybody to deal with some pain on this, period. But to do that in the political world that we live in now seems like it's almost impossible to find somebody who would do that.
Well, that's where crony capitalism is really draining this great mothership we call America. People putting up candidates that will do the bidding for our tax dollars. That's what's happened. And you ask any business what your biggest challenge is people. And people, elected members of House and Senate, and you can go down the list with at the state and local level. It's people that get you in trouble. And that's why you have to let people who I would argue have made money and lost money. And you need business people who have got the courage, if it even means coming home, if it even means turning a group down or reining in government. And as you say, everyone is going to have to take take some hits on it. If it means getting beat at the polls, you do it, because you can't keep going like we're going. And now it's time for action. And Trump will have a short window of time to deal with this, because he's will be a one term 4 years, but I would argue it's really 28, 29 months, because it'll be an election year. So we got a short fuse to do something with.
Do you see any hope down there in the hallowed halls of Congress that there be some blue and red discussion on something like this that actually could come forth with some kind of a bipartisan effort that might get some traction?
Well, when you're talking bipartisanship, it's like, let's take the immigration issue. Let's take, you have two, the Biden-Harris administration did it to us. Now, can we reach bipartisanship? The bill that Harris talks about, I read the bill. It was not a bipartisan bill. It gave cover to the Biden administration. They allowed 15,000 per day.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a bill. So, you know, when you get on the interstate, you can go north or south. Now, if you're each person is destined to go north or south, how do you reach a meeting of the minds? Back in the 60s and 70s, you could do it. Today, we're so far apart, and photo voter ID. You know, we had a critical vote in September. There's 212 members, Democrats, 220 Republicans. All the Democrats voted against basically photo voter ID. I'm sorry, we can't get together on that. And there's so many other issues that are like that, that are very frustrating to me. It's per the Constitution.
It was interesting to see the Supreme Court rule in the favor of the suit brought against Virginia so that they could purge the rolls of people who got driver's licenses but were not United States citizens. And it says in the Constitution you got to be a United States citizen to be able to vote. And yet we got lots of people running around all over this country with driver's licenses that are voting. And yet it's illegal. And we got states that don't enforce it.
And for this country, this administration to give $4,000 to each illegal to fly them in to, to spend money we don't have, yet we had a hurricane that hit close to home, as you know, in western North Carolina. And those people are begging for help.
Yeah.
And $765, that's an insult.
Yeah, exactly. So one quick question on the immigration thing. It doesn't seem like the campaign rhetoric of rounding up all the illegals and sending them back really is either going to be legal or doable. What is a reasonable path to follow in trying to deal with this issue? You got to stop it coming in. I got that. But what do you do with those who are already here?
You're going to have to get the judges involved. And I've got a case that you'll find about next week that's outlandish with some illegals that were caught with guns and we couldn't get the courts to put them in jail. No, I think it is possible. We don't have an option to leave them in this country. They're here illegally.
Right.
Now, he's going to have to jump through some legal hoops because I expect lawsuits to be filed. I get that. But Donald Trump has not only told groups of us, he's going to get them out. Now, I'm not so sure if, you know, when this thing started back when Biden took office, that the 10th Amendment wouldn't have a new meaning with Texas doing whatever it took to stop what has been a reality now for 4 years,
right,
of 15, 20 million across our border. We're all border states now.
Sure we are.
If you don't believe it, go to Pathways and see people walking up and down the streets. Look at the crime that's happening here. Look at the fentanyl, all of the above. So, no, he's going to have to deal with it. It's going to take an effort, but I think he will do that, and I think he'll be forceful with it.
Well, I don't think, regardless of what your political flavor is, this guy keeps going no matter what is thrown his way. I mean, it's amazing.
He does.
He's absolutely amazing. And I'm still chuckling at him being in the garbage truck yesterday on his way to the Green Bay rally. It's just the funniest thing ever. How do you get a garbage truck, get it all painted, have your logos put on it in basically 24 hours, and then you be up in the cab and on your way to the rally? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And what this man has gone through, the two assassination attempts. I went to one of his trials in New York. That's sad what they drug him through.
Yeah.
It's sad. I mean, look at the those that were in prison on January 6th that weren't entitled to a trial. I mean, it's the weaponization is what's shocking to me. But hopefully that's all going to change and turn around.
Okay, you got about 60 seconds left. Tell everybody why they should go to the polls and pull the lever for Ralph Norman.
Here's the big question. If you like what's happened the last 4 years, if you like what's happened to what you're paying at the pump, if you like what's the high price you're paying for food, for services, if you like the crime, I'm against every bit of that. My conservative vote will continue. I will continue to put up term limits. I will continue to fight for the taxpayers and to get this country solvent. And if you don't agree with that, then you probably shouldn't vote for me.
His name is Ralph Norman. He's seeking your vote coming November the 5th. And right now, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, anybody who's anybody, and that includes the congressman over here, knows what we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We prepare fresh subs and salads 6 days a week, and the way we do it is in the white letters so that you over here making a ballot can chant it out together. We're going to tell everybody out there why they should be in here. At the count of three, one, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Stuck in the office? Can't get away from school? Then go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring your sub or salad to you at home, school, the office, or even where you're watching the game. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Now, parts of Western York County can enjoy Comporium's advanced internet technology every day. Thanks to the partnership between Comporium and York Electric Cooperative, parts of Western York County now have access to Comporium fiber technology that gives you the ability to stream, download, search, and conference quickly and reliably. Not only is Comporium fiber fast, it's also affordable, starting at just $49.99 per month with no connection fee. For details, go online to comporium.link/YEC to sign up for Comporium high-speed internet today.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Ready for a win-win? For a limited time, upgrade your ride for less and score a chance to win the ultimate football experience. That's right. From now until October 31st, apply for an auto loan at a reduced rate with Founders Federal Credit Union, and you're automatically entered to win 4 tickets to the Clemson versus USC game in Death Valley on November 30th, an exclusive Death Valley experience and a Founders tailgate package. Stop by a Founders office or apply online today. Visit foundersfcu.com/auto to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. No purchase necessary. Membership qualification required.
If life is getting in the way of having your favorite substation sub or salad, there is a solution. Just go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring it to you wherever you are. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. This is Charlie Ruffalo, and I paid for this message.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Pleased to have with us today State Senator Mike Fanning, who's running for re-election, trying to get you to support him for a third term. He's been down there for 8 years. He'd like to be down there for 4 more years.
Got more work to do.
Now, just quickly, a little sidebar.
Yes.
Old Yeller out there.
Old Yeller.
Is the oldest truck in South Carolina, do you think? 1970?
Well, I mean, the oldest truck, certainly in the legislature.
Still,
I mean, there are people that have some antique things that they've restored.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of a daily driver, yes, it is 54 years old. I drive her every single day to the State House, all across Fairfield, Chester, York, and Lancaster. She's special.
She's special. Okay. All right, we could do a whole show just on Old Yeller. We may do that one day.
Yes.
So you've been down there for 8 years.
Yes.
What is it, what is it that drives you to want to go for another 4 years? And maybe what is it that has given you pause to think about, really, should I do this for another 4 years?
No, you're absolutely right. That three things really do. Number one, education. I am the only teacher in the Senate. This is my 32nd year in education. My PhD is in education. I ran because we have non-educators setting the policy for teaching and learning, and folks refusing to listen to teachers. And that's one of the reasons I ran. If you remember, 5 years ago, I led a 9-week filibuster against an 84-page bill to supposedly reform education, written without a single teacher at the table. 10,000 teachers marched at the State House and said this would add to the bureaucracy, this would add to over-testing, this would bring politics into our classrooms. I then led a 9-week buster to kill the bill, effectively kill it. And so I have been fighting on behalf of teachers and students in schools for 8 years, and we've got much more work to do, because right now we are taking our political fights into classrooms that really should be reserved for teaching fractions, teaching reading, teaching history, which is what I taught for decades. Second thing is our rural areas and our small towns have been looked over in the past. And so for 8 years, I've been fighting to bring economic development to our rural areas. About 10 years ago, we talked about how the I-77 corridor would one day shoot up big time. Mm-hmm. Well, big time is here. We are the fastest growing segment, region, economic development in the state of South Carolina. And 90% of that I-77 corridor is in it, Senate District 17. I wrote the bill to bring Gallo Winery here to South Carolina, specifically to an old textile mill site in the little town of Fort Lawn. This past year, we wrote another bill to bring Scout Motors with some of the highest paying manufacturing jobs anywhere, building trucks and SUVs for Scout, which is a division of Volkswagen, right to the Fairfield-Richland County line. Rural economic development is important. But the last thing is, before we ran, you had to go to Columbia to see your senator when you had a problem. You had to make an appointment with your senator to see a problem. You had to go to his office to see a problem. For 8 years, I've gone to every birthday party of a four-year-old, every 90-year birthday party, anniversary, barbecue, church events, school events, ball games, and I do enjoy it. As a former teacher, I did that anyway, but my goal is to bring the power of government to people. And so the reason I am every single place I can be every single day for the last 8 years is not just because I enjoy being around people, which I do, but I want to bring the power of government to them so they don't have to come to me to tell me what's wrong or what we need to be working on. And so that's why I'm running. That's the work that needs to be done, and I hope to be able to continue that work if the folks see fit.
Has there been anything during your 8 years that has become such a frustration to you that you've thought about, you know, I've done what I can do, and I'm just not going to be able to bust through this problem?
The number one is the disrespect to teachers by both parties. If you remember, when I filibustered that bill for 9 weeks, that bill was supported by both Democrats and Republicans, even though every teacher in the state said it was garbage, is that folks aren't willing to listen to teachers. When we decide to change the way we build bridges, or recently the way we build dams, and I don't mean to cuss on your show, but with the water and the torrential rainfall, we changed the way we built dams. Before we drafted the bill, we brought engineers, we brought DOT, we brought farmers that had the dams, sat at the table before we crafted that. During COVID, when we had to change the way we buried people, we brought in funeral directors and coroners and had their input. But we write bills about education without involving teachers all the time. And whether it's purposeful disrespect or unintentional disrespect, that's got to stop. At some point, if we want to improve the way things are going in our schools, we need to listen to people that were trained, that spend their time in with our kids every day. They know what's wrong. And 9 times out of 10, if we would get out of their way and let them teach, amazing things could happen. That was what drove me to begin with. That's what I think is the number one problem. That's the number one frustration I have. And when I thought about whether I'd run again, the answer was, who would be the voice as the only teacher in the Senate?
You know, the other part, when we talk about public education, I've lived in South Carolina for 40 years. I've seen you guys throw everything but the kitchen sink at it. And still, we have too many counties that just are not performing at all. And I understand why. They're very poor counties. They don't have the tax base to build the facilities that are needed and the basic living conditions that teachers want to move into. You've incentivized them, you know, with certain ways to eliminate loans and all that kind of stuff, but it still hasn't happened. And yet these kids, they get one shot at it. They got 12 years, and then boom, they're out. Is there a magic wand to fix this thing?
Well, you hit the problem. The problem is you guys keep throwing things at it, and you guys are always bureaucrats and politicians, and they're never educators. Our educators have been telling us what they've been wanting for years, and we in turn pass things like we give the most high-stakes standardized test of any state in the country, and then we give report cards of the schools on those tests, and then we funnel resources to the schools based on how they score on these high-stakes standardized tests. Find me a single parent that loves those high-stakes standardized tests and gets something out of them. Find a single teacher that gets anything out of those high-stakes standardized tests, $100 million a year. And the report cards that we give, I went this past year to the well of the Senate, and I brought two stacks, each 2 feet tall. One was the first report cards we gave out in 1999, showing how districts and schools were doing, and the very 10 best and the 10 worst. And then the second stack was the report card from last year, the 10 best, 10 worst. It's the same schools. We are the ones at fault, not teachers and schools. The bureaucrats are the ones. We keep funneling money at systematic, bureaucratic political junk and imposing that on teachers and schools who just want to be left alone to teach the multiplicative inverse of a fraction, to teach dangling participles. We keep injecting politics in that. Imagine a world Well, we took the politics out of the classroom and empowered teachers to do what they were loved and trained to do, and that is to teach the kids how to diagram a sentence, to teach the kids how to multiply fractions. It can be done. It's being done in other states. But we have seized the political issue of the education as a political issue. We've politicized it. And to your point, yes, we've thrown everything at it. But the we that have been throwing everything at it are politicians. At some point, we've got to empower our teachers.
Well, you know, one of the things that the state did, and I was glad to see school districts jump on it, was to take these cell phones away from the kids when they come in the classroom, right?
Yes.
Great idea. But how can, you're an educator, the discipline problem in schools is horrendous.
Yes.
I mean, it's horrendous. How a teacher teaches in today's climate in many places, I don't understand how they do it.
One of the biggest things has been kids are kids. And a six-year-old today is the same six-year-old that was then. A six-year-old is going to test boundaries, right? No
sure.
matter who they are,
yep.
even if it's your wonderful grandchild, they're going to test boundaries, and the teacher's going to have to enforce boundaries. The wild card is 30 years ago, when that kid tests the boundaries and does something wrong, those parents would always
Bingo.
Have that teacher's back and say, look,
Bingo.
We're going to do that. Today, we have lost that.
Yeah, right.
And so we've got to look at different ways of doing that. But to do that first is we've got to get good teachers, keep good teachers, or we're not going to have the people to teach our kids. Now, one big accomplishment that we've had is when I took office, starting teacher pay was $30,000. I have worked these last 8 years, and this year starting teacher pay is $47,500.
Right.
We've increased starting teacher pay by $17,500 in the last 8 years since I've been in office, and Governor McMaster and I have planned this year to get that final $2,500 up to $50,000 starting salary. Now, the bad news, though, is other states and inflation have gone up as well, but at least we're making some steps. So the first thing is we need to pay our teachers, but the second thing is we need to treat them like the professionals they are.
Okay,
we need to have their back and empower them.
Let me stop you, because I've been on this soapbox 100 times. You guys, all you members of the State House and State Senate, and with the governor, have done a great job attracting all these wonderful industries. I mean, we got them. Listen, BMW, Volvo, you know, Boeing, the list goes on and on. We know what they're paying in the private sector, which is a heck of a lot more than what the teachers are paying. So we go back to when South Carolina had a $2 billion surplus and a $1 billion surplus here. I don't understand for the life of me why, if we need to have the best of the best in the classroom so we can produce the best of the best for these industries that you're bringing here, we don't take that surplus and say, you know what, we're going to change this damn model. $50,000 is not anywhere near what it needs to be. You know, we need to get whatever it is, $65,000 or $70,000.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand why that doesn't happen.
And what I've introduced a bill that would take us to the national average in teacher pay. And people keep saying, Fanning, that's too much. We can't do that. And I keep reminding them, national average means we'd be ranked 25th. There'd still be 24 states that pay more than we do. And so you're absolutely right. If we want the best, we pay the best.
All right. Believe it or not, I could talk to you all day long. We've got about 30 seconds left for you to tell everybody why they should support Mike Fanning.
Passed the toughest fentanyl traffic bill in the nation. Passed a bill to end the revolving door on bond, a bond reform bill. Now criminals that were getting out of jail on bond, committing other crimes, they will not be able to do that anymore. They'll be locked up and enhanced penalties. Reformed DHEC. We passed the largest tax cut last year in state history. Your income taxes will go down next year. Largest income tax cut in state history. It was my committee that found the $1.8 billion error that the Treasurer's Office, we are now doing an internal audit, and we're going to find that in January. We reformed foster care, making it easier for families, kinship care to adopt veterans. I am the only veteran, and we have totally exempted all veteran benefits and pay, so veterans no longer have to pay any taxes on their retirement. We have done two nursing homes. We've had a Secretaries of Office on that. And then finally, we have created workforce scholarships, free tuition to York Tech.
And his name is Mike Fanning, and he'd like to have your vote on November the 5th. Thank you for being here, Senator. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You always enjoy it.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time. At the count of three, he's all ready. He's ready to go. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. How we do it is in the white letters. Are we ready now?
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.